Hey.
Hello, Michael.
How are you, Curtis?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
All right.
I am wonderful. So, do we have everybody on?
It's Mike, Devin, Maria, anybody else?
Steve's on as well.
Hello, Steve.
Devin.
Okay, Devin, we got a full complement today. Okay, sounds good.
Full squad.
Let's do it.
Okay, so before I get started, I want to cover
You there?
I do not hear Curtis.
Yeah. Must have lost power or something.
That's allowed for him to dial back in.
He was just getting to the good stuff,
tight.
Though.
Right. I feel it.
Yeah, Curtis is on today. I can feel it.
Oh, man. Can't wait for my 4 o'clock appointment.
Way to go, Michael. I have to leave at 4.
That's
not convenient. Just so we're clear.
Okay.
Appreciate your communication.
I love this direct line of communication.
Love it.
So here, I'm going to actually pick up my phone. Okay, so those are some of the things that, you know, are on my mind that we need to get to. So, you know, let's kind of...
Curtis, dropped off for really that whole...
Right when you started,
right when you said
off.
You wanted to get into something, we couldn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what happened, but so what I said is we got to make sure that we definitely are fully ensconced in sections 9, 10, and 11, which is all about acquisition and leadership. You know, we did some things early on. And so we have a fairly good understanding. And today we were supposed to get into, you know, leadership. So, I wanted to cover, the agenda first, Michael, and, you know, some of the notes that, you had sent me. And so I think that's where we'll start today. Probably spend a little time on that and then let's try to get into section 11
yep.
and make sure that we've got a footing there. So
let's do it.
Okay. So you had indicated based on the list that you wanted to cover 4, 6, 7, and 9. And so number 4 was provide a list of meaningful questions to ask clients. Okay. Now, to be clear, when we're asking them questions, what are we talking about?
I think it's kind of finding pain points.
Okay, finding pain points. Okay. All right. Now, here's my perspective on that. When you're trying to find out pain points of a client, to define pain points, that means there's something that creates this little burr that they're sitting on that just bugs them. But we're covering everything but what really bothers the client. So you need to figure out what that is by asking some questions. So what I did is I framed a few questions, and I call them life questions, okay? And so and they're not in necessarily any order, but let's think about it and let's banter back and forth, if you would. And Steve and Maria and everybody chime in on what you think. But this isn't pretending, this isn't necessarily about the market. Okay, so there's pain points for business owners. There's pain points for corporate executives. There's pain points for doctors. Everybody's got pain points. So let's try to define the pain point as something that really is bothersome to the client, okay? You can barge right in on portfolio management, financial planning, tax minimization, but what you need to really determine is what really causes them sleepless nights. Okay. So, question number one, and it's really not a question, but if they're executives, they're concerned about their career. They're concerned about their next move, their next promotion. And you need to talk about that, okay? Now, we had spent some time talking about external team as well, so I'm going to skip ahead. You might want to think about, in your sphere of influence, having a life coach that that you could refer a client to, because many of them don't have a life coach. Most of them don't. But have that as part of your external team, okay? So think about that, where they're talking about career, work-life balance. Those are things that bother many, many professionals and business owners. They're working, they're paying the bills, paying the mortgage, they're trying to educate the children. Those are questions you know what to ask, okay? But where you might fall short is really talking about how some of these pain points associated with life issues come about, okay? So I haven't given you a specific question to ask, but you could probably think of some. You know, tell me about your career. You know, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, how secure do you feel your career is? Are you looking for that next promotion? I mean, just kind of go down that list, okay? All right, number two, ask them where they see themselves in 2 to 3 years. If you go down to 10, that's probably too long. 5 might be stretching it. But over the next 24 to 36 months, Mr. Jones, where do you see yourself? You know, in terms of family, in terms of career, you know, in terms of the things that you'd like to do, okay? Now they're beginning to start to think that you are more interested in them than just the money, okay? So I think that would be a great question to ask. Number three, tell me about your interests beyond work. You know, what are some of your hobbies? What are the top three things on your bucket list? Okay? And when you get this kind of intelligence, you know, you might get a lifestyle magazine on a Caribbean vacation and give it to a client. Now, when you have 75 to 85 relationships, that's easy to do. You can single them out for an article or two of things that make some sense, okay? There are people who are interested in gardening. There are people who think that they want to take salsa lessons. But find out what they might be interested in. Sorry about that. So that would be the one. Tell me about your interests. Okay? So number four, how does that resonate with you, first of all? Tell me about your interests.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Number four, and I like this one. What's on your bucket list? You know, you may find that people have a penchant for volunteerism. You may find out that they want to play the top 10 golf courses in the U.S. You know, you might find that they want to go see the pyramids, whatever's on their bucket list. So that when you are communicating about portfolio management and financial planning kinds of issues, you can always make reference. One of the reasons we're doing this, Mr. Jones, because we want you to see the pyramids. Okay, you're relating it to something of value and expectations. Now, I'm gonna pause for a moment and kind of allude to what your real job is and how you define it. And I'd like you to think about this. Your job is to help people find their dreams, their hopes, and their aspirations. Okay? That's what you do. You don't sell stocks and bonds. It's the dream, it's the hope, it's the aspiration. You are the catalyst for providing inspiration and help people find motivation so that they can be happy in life. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've given a lot of thought to your role and what you do, but that's going to separate you from the rest of the pack that's just out there selling the next ETF, okay? How's that resonate with you guys?
I like it.
Resonates.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so my fifth question has to do with, it's how do you see yourself in your retirement years? You know, there are a lot of folks, they work like crazy, and then they die, okay? So what you've got to do is somehow get them to start thinking about what they can do in real life terms before retirement, and then what happens during retirement. You know, folks in that I-75 corridor, because I worked in St. Petersburg, Florida, look, they take the folks in the Midwest, they get in their cars, and they drive down I-75 all the way through St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Bradenton, Naples. They go down there, and that's where they spend their life, okay? So figure out what people want to do and then ask them, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? You know, begin to be somewhat of a lifestyle coach and begin to read up on the things that people can do to create fun in their lives, okay? Some may want to spend time with their grandchildren. Some may want to spend time with their adult children. So figure out what these folks want to do. And here's question number six. What other motivations do you have? Okay? All right. Now, I'm going to give you myself as a reference point, you know, because I never really thought that I was fully retired because I'm still doing things that I enjoy. So the question is, what other motivations do you have? Okay? Now, I'll give you a thought. In 2009, I decided that I was going to get immersed in Spanish. I went to Berlitz every Tuesday, every Thursday, and covered 9 levels in a year, which was the maximum. Started reading literature in Spanish. Then I took off to Buenos Aires for 2 weeks. Okay? Took off to Buenos Aires for 2 weeks to get immersed. Then I loved it so much, I went back for a solid month. I got a hall pass to go for a month. Get immersed in the language. Get instruction. So find out what your clients' proclivities are, what they want, and help them get there. Okay, so that's kind of that set of questions that brings you closer to the client relationship. And all studies point to the fact that, the average client is probably in their 60s now. So they're trying to figure this stuff out. Okay? So what are their motivations? What do they want to do? Some may want to become a part of a nonprofit. Some may just simply want to lower their golf handicap. You know, I mean, one of the things I did is I took off to a golf academy. You know, the Nicholas Flick School in West Palm.
Nice.
You know, and, you know, did that type of thing. So, you know, you got to figure out what their interests are and then help them. You know, come up with some ideas and do some reading on life. Now, I'm going to reference probably one of the greatest books written on gerontology and the age wave. Well, it's called The Age Wave. And it really talks about some of these kinds of lifestyle things that your client base is probably thinking about as we speak. So, you know, if you get a chance, get a copy, get an audio version so that you can maybe listen when you drive, but it's a great reference point. Okay. So that covers maybe in more detail than you wanted on number 4. Anybody got any questions about that? Okay. You're not going to find this stuff in the manual.
Got it.
Okay. All right. So the next one was number 6, which was budgeting recommendations. And one of the things that I did when I put 102 and 106, I was referencing the book I wrote called Supernova Advisor Teams, A Pathway to Excellence. So the reference pages on page, 102 talks about, you know, the whole comp structure, team decisions, and things like that. So it deals with that partially. But I think more importantly what we should do and make a note of this, Michael, we should have a separate call where I can do a go-to meeting and take you through this forecasting tool that I created for teams. It does everything. Compensation splits, helps you make your projections. So you can't really determine the expense side of your budget until you really start thinking thoughtfully about what your forecast is from a quantitative standpoint, okay? So I would say what we should do is begin to look at the line items in the business plan and strategy template that I sent you and use that as kind of a guide. And then let's set up specific time when you're ready, and I'll put you through the forecasting tool.
Sounds good.
Okay.
You say page 102. That's where I'm a little bit confused. So budgeting recommendations, page 102. If I've got, like, the Supernova coaching guide, my 102 is Supernova script for reassigning clients.
Yeah, it's not in the – that's not 102 in the manual. This is in the book I wrote.
Got it.
Supernova Advisor Teams.
So I need to order that?
Yes, you should order that. And the other thing you can do is you can get it on audio, and they will provide you with all of the PDFs on all the illustrations if you prefer to take in the information there. And I was going to suggest that once the 12 weeks are complete, then I'd really like to go through one or two chapters of the book while reinforcing the concepts that you've already kind of gone through. Because there's a lot in there. It's more focused on team dynamics.
Only if you sign our copy of the book.
I will definitely sign you a copy of the book.
All right.
Okay. So, I have your address. So, what I'm going to do is, I'll put one in the mail for you so that you don't have to buy it and send it back and do all that stuff. So I actually have an extra copy, and I'll send it out. Okay.
Well, you send it to us. We'll dig into it.
Okay. All right. The number seven. So your line items are gonna, you know, it's gonna be in that business plan and strategy document that I had previously sent you. So you should look at that as kind of a guidepost. It's got a checklist in there, and it'll help you identify, you know, at least the categories where you want to spend your money. Okay?
Got it. Sounds good.
All right. Number seven. What questions to ask to uncover pain points? So what I did with that is I sent you an article on the pain points for a business owner.
Right.
And, you know, why don't you start with those pain points first? You know, it's going to always be the typical. You know, I gotta make payroll. I gotta pay my employees. I gotta expand my market. You know, I've got increased competition. You know, from a strategy point of view, I think that you should surround yourself with this external team, and you have to build that slowly. And it's kind of a de facto mastermind group. One team member might be an expert on web and social media, okay? One team member might be an expert on HR issues, I-9s. One may be an expert on the whole pension and funding capability. Another one may be an expert in M&A, succession planning for business owners. The other is a CFO type who, there's organizations like, or businesses like CFOs to go, where they get parachuted into a business, they help them with their structure. It's good to have a person like that on your team, and then you can get cross-referral opportunities from each of those people in the mastermind group. Okay? So now you're not only getting people that are expert in their field, but they're also providing you with referral sources. So now I want you to think about your existing team, and then I want you to think about how you amplify your team based on the resources at Morgan Stanley, and then how you further amplify that team. If you look at any private wealth office, the client, the upper echelon of clients all have these kinds of experts that they call on. So what you can do is you can build one via a mastermind group. Okay? So again, it's the CFO, it's an HR kind of type consultant. It's a that consults the small businesses. It's a social media, you know, expert. It's a M&A kind of person that deals with succession planning, succession management, and then your CPA attorney. Okay, so now you've got this team. They know how you work. They've been brought in by you. They've met your team. They know about Supernova. They know how you work. They know your concierge service. And they're willing to provide a cost-free consultation service to any business owner that you are either prospecting or currently working with. And each of them has their own brochure, okay? And can be suggested by you that the business owner seek counsel from various individuals. So when you understand the pain of a business owner, it's like it's marketing. How do we reach our clients? How do we keep our clients? It's the same issues you deal with for the most part. It's cash flow management. It's succession management. You know, the retirement of a senior partner. You know, it's all of those kinds of issues. So I'd like you to reference the article, and I have several websites in there where you can go in and get up to speed on different, you know, nonprofits, different kinds of focuses. Okay? Any questions on that?
Can you send that article again? I can't seem to find it.
Okay. The article was, I'll send it to you. I'll just send another copy, okay? After we get off the call, I'll send another copy to you. So it'll be, it's kind of, you know, financial advisors discover the pain points in your market. So, you know, I'll get that copy to you. And we did that very early on in the game. Okay. Number nine was goal setting. You know, and so what's going to really help you with goal setting, look at, let's see, page 203 was a reference to, I think, my book here, 203. Yeah, it gets into you kind of doing a SWOT analysis on your whole business prior to goals. So what we're going to do is we're going to do the forecasting tool, and we're going to go back and forth, because what the forecasting tool allows your team to do is what if scenarios. Okay, so what if we increase our revenue target from 15% to 18%? And we move our revenue per household to X. How does that impact our numbers? How does that impact our 3-year, 5-year performance? This thing builds graphs, it builds charts, and so forth. So that's going to solve that issue when we schedule that time. So it'll solve the issue with the goal setting, and it'll also solve the issue with budgeting and forecasting future growth.
Okay.
So otherwise, you know, I kind of looked at this. It could literally take you 8 hours to do the mathematical permutations and what if scenarios. So I built this tool so that you could do this in literally minutes, not hours. Okay, so that's something to put in the tickler file, to get on the schedule and the calendar to have a specific session just on that. Okay? All right. Steve, you still there? Maria?
I'm with you.
Okay, any questions about, I mean, I kind of went through some things in rapid fire, so I want to make sure that you all are getting all of that. So any questions?
I don't have any questions.
I have none
at this point.
On my
I'm
end.
Just taking notes, Curtis.
Okay. And remember, this is recorded, so you can go back and hit the recording and go back through it. Okay. All right. Let's take a few moments. Let's see what time we got here. It's boy, time is going by when we have fun. Do I have your permission to take another 10 minutes?
Let's do it. 3 tens are time.
Okay. All right. So one of the things we want to do, I'm going to go through week 11's material. So it's chapter 11 in your guidebook. Now, at this point, you should take the manual. You should go get the tabs 1 through 12, tab out your entire manual, put it in the notebook. You review the video, you look at the manual, and then we have the conference call, which is designed for me to reinforce the areas that you have any questions about and or learning in each of the modules. So this particular week was about failure points for acquisition, team accountability, using the game board, team communication, and business planning. Okay? So we are already covering many of these points in all of our discussion. The accountability component is really meeting once a week with the team and having goals for the game board, okay? So you have the previous script on VPSA, okay? The VPSA model, which is the referral model. So that would be one category. That's in the manual. I don't know what page it's in on yours. On mine, it's page 141, but it's probably around in that vicinity. There's the 90-day trial. There's COIs. There's the mastermind group, client plans, whether or not they've been reviewed, client meetings, reviewing your niche markets, your community board meetings, and your social media, which is your update on LinkedIn. Okay? So when you go back to chapter 9, I think it was, we were going through the 90 concept of the 96-4-2-2-1 acquisition model, which is, to translate it, it's the 90-day free look for prospects, having 6 centers of influence, having a 4-member mastermind group, serving on 2 community boards, 2 niche markets that have been identified, and 1 social media network, okay? So that's all about acquisition. Now, in terms of accountability, what you're doing with the game board is you're putting down Michael, Maria, and Steve. What are your goals for each of those categories for that week? And when you have your weekend huddle-up session, team huddle, you're asking, well, how did we do with the referral model? Our goal was 5, and we got 4. So we came up short. Did we not ask enough? Did we not have enough meetings that week? So you call into question what you did, what you accomplished, and that's where the accountability lies. And each member of the team has a certain accountability. So everything we've done up to this acquisition phase was to organize ourselves, segment our books, so that we're freeing enough face time to now engage in the right kind of growth. Okay, so each of those categories, you would be writing down, like, the target was on the 90-day trial for the week. We wanted to get 2 people set up, and we actually got 1 set up. So we fell a little bit short. COIs, we ended up having 1 meeting, and our goal was, you know, 1 per week. So you're keeping track of what you're doing. That's what the game board is all about.
Businesses are on numbers, right?
Right. It's the accountability. Now, it's been my experience over the years that, you know, people don't like to be held accountable. They don't want to stand up and talk about, I failed this week. I didn't meet my targets. That makes me feel like crap, and I don't want to be reminded. So what I'm saying is, suck it up. Be real. When you don't do something, try to understand why, okay? And try to get it fixed over the next week or the next 2 weeks. So don't be ashamed. Take it as a learning process to get better. Okay, so that's what the game board's about. Go ahead. I didn't hear that.
Steve and I have talked about this in the past, about, you know, having goals.
Right.
Kind of knockout. So, you know, what you're saying is we can take a look at this game board, make a little bit of our own, right? And then,
yes.
I don't know, once a week, whether it be on Fridays or Mondays, go through it.
Yep.
See what we've done, right?
Yeah. What did you do? You said, hey, you wanted to get five plans done that week and you got two done. What happened? Okay? Ask yourself what happened. Oh, I was out in a FA meeting in Chicago. Okay. We understand that.
And I would say to Maria, Steve, when we go through this, this is not, you know, it's going to be hard at first because you're not used to driving business, right?
That's right.
And this is not something to where we're supposed to, we're trying to rub your nose in your own stuff, right?
No, not at all. Use it as a coaching moment.
Right. As you do this, you'll get better at it, but if you put in the effort, if you do these tasks, good things will come of it.
I promise you, good things will happen.
If we don't measure it, I'm pretty sure you'll both be very average at what you do. And I say that with just being totally transparent. You know,
exactly.
The one good thing at Chase is why I couldn't stand is that they kind of micromanaged you.
Right.
But I wouldn't be where we are today if I wasn't at least in the infancy of my career,
right,
having somebody direct me and keeping me accountable to do it.
Exactly.
At some point, it'll become just second nature for you to knock these things out.
Well, I'm going to further tell you that what happens with the million-dollar producer, the multi-million-dollar team, many managers say, I got worse things to do than a multi-million-dollar team that's doing an outstanding job. Okay? And so what happens is you get left alone a little bit. So what I'm a proponent of is you can get an extra 20 or 25% out of the multi-million-dollar team than you can with somebody that's doing 250 and you're trying to get them to 350. Okay? It's just the way it works. Okay? All right. So that's what the game board is. And it goes on, and there's a copy of the template in your manual in this section 11. And it talks about client appointments made and client appointments confirmed, agendas sent out, the agenda sent out in advance, and the folders being updated, appointment notes transcribed, client meetings transferred from the scheduling tool to Outlook, the executive summaries sent to clients, and the rapid response to problems. So if these things are done the way that they should be done, your business is going to run smoothly, and you're going to continue to get the growth out of what you do. Now, each member of the team has an assigned, delegated duty and responsibility for each of the areas. So somebody is tracking planning. Somebody is tracking implementation of those plans. Somebody is the VP of brand, which is making sure that there's an adherence to 1242. The VP of marketing is tracking the new assets and new accounts and reporting on that. And the VP of leadership is looking at revenues and is having a monthly meeting with each of with the team members. So you take these things and translate them into measurable goals. And like I say, we're going to try to make this easy for you. And that's why I've sent you the business plan and strategy document. Because one of the roles of the VP of leadership is to move the team forward with goals and ensure that they have their development, both personal and professional, that you all are purpose-driven, mission-driven, and vision-driven, which are the things that we're asking you to do in the business plan and strategy document. So basically what I've done is I've taken the things that you need to do and getting you to kind of create your own personalized business plan and strategy document that you refer to on a regular basis, and it gets updated with action plans on an annual basis. Okay? So the final thing that I think we have some time for without you getting too overwhelmed, but this is a very, very important topic, is look at your team pipeline. You know, how many introductions are you getting each week to generate one new qualified client? How many introductions are needed from the COIs to get one new qualified client? How many 90-day test drives are needed to get one new qualified client? The number of introductions from your mastermind group, introductions from LinkedIn, introductions from your community involvement, okay? So in terms of workflow, now that you're organized, you know, I suggest that you meet for 10 minutes with your team every morning. You're at, it's over the CA's desk. What do we got going on today? You know, how are things going? Anything I need to be aware of? It's the communication. Do that first thing in the morning.
We do that. I mean, I don't know if we do it the very first thing, but we're usually by 10-ish.
Okay. So, it you know, you set your time, but what matters is that you do it. Okay?
Right.
Your game board, probably on a Monday. Your scoreboard, on a Friday. Okay? Having a monthly meeting with each of the team members reporting. Okay? And, you know, that's really, and we've got sample agendas for your weekly team meeting in the manual. Excuse me. So we have that for you. And, you know, you can improvise. We have sample agendas for your daily stand-up meeting. Okay. So your assignment now, if you haven't already, is begin to set up your daily and your weekly meetings and set up the game board in the office and use it at your weekly meeting. Okay, kind of create the template that's there.
I think we're ahead of the game.
Okay.
Weekly thing, and Maria, we just need to do a better job of meeting on Fridays to go over it.
Okay. All right, we've covered a lot. Any questions before we conclude today?
We're good. I'm good.
Okay, well, it's been my pleasure. I don't think we talk next week because of the holiday, but, you know, I look forward to the next call, and I wish you all a very happy holidays and Merry Christmas. You know, send me an email if there's some things that are on your mind, and, you know, I look forward to continuing to work with you.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Merry Christmas.
All righty.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Curtis.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.